Attention contractors, on May 6th, you're invited to a free web class all about hiring. Look, there's no denying we're in a skilled labor shortage, and it feels impossible these days to hire good people. But I've conducted over 2,400 interviews for trades positions, and I'm telling you, this can be done. You're just kind of doing it wrong. So, if you want the best performing job ad templates contractors are using in 2025, some simple interview tactics that are going to double your show up rates, and some tips to become the only place in town that A players want to work, this web class is for you. May 6th, let's make it happen, and I'll see you there. Hey everyone, welcome back to Contract Revolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. I'm Danny Kerr, your host for today's bonus Friday episode. Your people are your business. This is true in most industries, but in contracting, if you think about it, it's kind of everything. It's the way that people experience your brand. It's the sales and production process and how that handoff happens. It's the productivity in every job site you go do. It's the quality of work you perform. It's the profitability of your own business. And ultimately, as an entrepreneur, it's your own enjoyment of your job, right? So today we're going to break down a simple framework that I'm going to give you that'll basically help you maximize productivity on your team, make sure people are just working better and they're at their best. It's called the skill will matrix. The idea is whenever productivity is down, you're able to ask yourself one simple question. Is this a skill issue or is this a will issue? And instead of overanalyzing and making assumptions and trying to like overcomplicate the whole thing, we're going to have some simple ways to effectively address either one of these issues. So before we get started, there are some downloads in the description. I recommend you get a copy of them. It'll be the skill will matrix, as well as some tools we're going to go through for how to address either side of these issues. So let's get started. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. So what is the skill will matrix? Well, if you think about it, there's an axis. On one side, there's skill. On the bottom, there's will. And you can start to put people into quadrants, right? You've got people that are high skill and high will. We'll talk a little about those people. Those are high performers. On the bottom end, you've got people that are low skill and low will. We'll talk a bit about them at the very end. And then you've got these interesting people in between that are high skill but low will. Or maybe they've got high will but low skill. What do you do with these people? Well, section by section, I'll go through each quadrant with you and show you how to approach this as a leader. So let's start with people that are high will but low skill. If you think about these are people that really care and they're doing their best. They're showing up early. They're leaving late, but they kind of suck, right? And as a busy entrepreneur, you might see this and be like, man, this person needs to get better or I can't keep them on my team, but it would really suck to fire them because they care so much. Think about it. Do you have those people on your team right now? Well, let's talk about them. So let's say this team member's name is Michael. Michael's been at it for a few months. He's done okay. You now have him on a larger, more complex job. And his hours are off. He's missing target. Quality's a little down. You can tell he's pretty stressed, but he's showing up and he's doing his best every single day. Do you ignore it? Do you hope he just gets better on his own? No. You need to address his lack of skill, right? This is not a Michael issue. This is a you issue, actually. You're the one who hired Michael. You committed to him. You gave him a chance to have a 40-hour a week job where he wants to go do good work for you, but you also got to develop him along the way. So to give you a cool tool or framework on this, it's something called DREGI. Demonstrate, observe, redemonstrate, assign a task, set a goal, and inspect. It's a step-by-step walkthrough that makes sure that you as an entrepreneur don't just have someone follow you around for a week or two and hopefully they figure it out. You actually take time to invest in them and develop their skill one element at a time. To get the downloads for this, check out the link in the description. This should help a lot. It'll bring some visuals to what I'm about to talk about. Okay, so let's get back into our example of Michael. Let's say he's a painter and he's painting the side of a wall and he just can't seem to get it right. Well, I need to show him step by step exactly what good or what right looks like. So first step is demonstrate. If I'm going to demonstrate this to Michael, I'm going to make sure I have steps that he can actually follow. So Michael, I want you to do a W pattern. I then want you to back roll it. Then I want you to check for drips on the front end on either side and make sure that there's no drips and look for let the light actually hit the wall. I've given him three or four simple steps that he can follow that while I've demonstrated, physically painted the wall, he can actually listen and actually know what are the steps I need to do when I replicate this. So that's D for demonstrate. Next step is O for observe. Now it's Michael's turn to do exactly what I just showed him and actually speak through the steps that I just spoke him through. So I not only know that he's doing a good job, but that he's mentally doing the steps in his mind because he's vocalizing and verbalizing it to me as he goes. Okay, so now I've observed Michael do the wall. And at some level, maybe he did a good job, but he missed checking for drips properly. So great, I'm going to now re-demonstrate for R in the Draghi forum. How do you actually do this with the one little bit of feedback of checking for drips? And I'm just really exemplifying that one step. Okay, now I've demonstrated it. I've observed Michael do it. I've re-demonstrated it. Time for me to assign a task and set a goal for Michael. Michael, I want you to do the back side of the house. You have 2 hours to get it done. Remember the steps we went through, and I'll come back in the end and inspect. So I've assigned a task, I've set a goal, and I've left Michael alone for 2 hours. I've let him not have me breathing down his neck and let him just be a bit more the natural version of himself. See what he remembers and let him kind of depend on himself and not me. 2 hours later, I come back and I actually inspect. I don't forget about him and run off to another job, right? I'm taking time now to see how he actually did. That is Draghi. And how do I know that Michael knows how to actually roll a wall? Because I took time with him. I went through it with him and I saw him do it. And I got a chance to actually inspect it. Now, for a lot of us, that seems like a lot of work. But think about the amount of work and effort and time you put in putting out fires by your team that's not really doing a good job. You have quality issues, brand issues, productivity issues. Imagine if piece by piece you could invest in your people little by little over time. This doesn't happen overnight, and start to see all those things fade away. Okay, so we've talked about people that have high will but low skill. What do you do with the people that are opposite? They've got low will and pretty high skill. They know what they're doing. They've been fairly productive parts of your team for a very long time, but now they're kind of disengaged. Maybe they're showing up late. They're not bringing their A game, and they're maybe pissing people off in the process. This is a will issue, right? So to go and try and do Draghi with these people is not the right approach. You need to take time to understand what is the actual core issue and find common ground with them. Now, how do you do this? Well, the next model we're going to talk about is how to have a conflict. I don't mean to have a fist fight. I don't mean to have a yelling match. I mean a healthy conflict where you can seek to understand what's going on and then also like take some time to seek to be understood and ultimately not even probably solve the whole issue, but just find common ground. Right? Have you ever tried to resolve issues with people where it's just back and forth, like a tennis match where you're competing against each other and nobody's really happy in the end and there's just a bunch more red tape that gets thrown up? This process is going to help get rid of that red tape, clear the air, and leave room for problem solving. So to demonstrate this well, let's go into the example of Michael. Let's say it's now 3 years into his career. He's even leading crews, but something's up. He's been showing up late recently. His crew's morale is down. Quality on some of the jobs. I've had some calls from customers. Something's changed. What's the first thing I need to go do? Well, I need to talk to Michael about it, but in the right way. So step one to this is approach Michael and set some context and set a time to have a productive conversation. So I might go to Michael on the job site and just let him know, hey, Michael, I've noticed productivity's been down. I noticed your morale has been down for you and your team. I've noticed a lot of this since January. And honestly, I just want to make sure you and I have a quick chat about this. Are you cool to meet for lunch tomorrow? All I'm doing is setting a bit of time and context for him, giving him space to breathe, making sure I don't attack him on the spot so he can't prepare. And also just like let him know what we are going to chat about so he's not worried about it for the next day. Right? So I'm setting the stage. Now, step two, I'm sitting down with Michael. We're having lunch. My next step as a leader is to seek first to understand, then seek to be understood. And the best like tool I give you for this is just a way of saying it, which is when you, I feel, I need, because. And what does it sound like? Well, Michael, when you show up late and your head's not in the game, I feel like you don't really care. And the team kind of feels it too. I need you to show up on time. I need you to put your A game hat back on. I need you out there because without it, we're never going to hit budgets and we're never going to be able to even make you the bonuses you're trying to make. And if you hear that, I'm trying to get to a point where I'm respecting what he's just told me. I'm understanding where the problem is. And really what I'm trying to do is the final step is establish common ground, right? The needs of Michael is to hit bonuses so he can make better money so he can be motivated. The same need is for me, is to hit productivity so he can hit his bonuses, so he can make money and the company can go hit its targets. We both have the same wants and we both have some common ground now. But to try and solve the issue before we go through that conversation, I'm telling you, you're just going to hit a bunch of red tape and a bunch of people that aren't going to listen to you. So to walk through conflict effectively, where you first set up the environment properly, go through a conversation where you seek first to understand, then seek to be understood, and then finally establish common ground. That is the step-by-step process of very basic conflict resolution that will help you get people's will back on track. And here's the big final note that I made earlier. Do not go into problem-solving mode. Do not go into defend and explain mode. Take time to understand them. Take time to make sure they understand you. Find common ground. After that, and only after that, can you start problem-solving. Now, again, the link in the description has a really good framework to help you with this type of conversation and walk you through step-by-step how to do this so that you can get it right and make sure you don't miss a beat. Okay, great. So we've talked about people that are high will but low skill, people that are high skill but low will. What do you do with your high performers? People that are high will and high skill. Well, I'll tell you, when you're busy in business, just trying to take care of all the details and all the things I just talked to you about, it's easy to ignore your high performers. But be careful about this. Do not take them for granted. They're in high demand and your competition wants them even more than you do. So make sure you recognize them, reward them, and acknowledge their impact and show appreciation for what they're doing on the team. And here's the big one. Give them opportunities for growth. Learn how to let go a little bit as a leader and help them grow in their own way so that they can take on more and more every single year. See, high performers, they thrive on a challenge. So find ways to help them grow, whether it's leadership opportunities, advanced training, or maybe just involving them in some higher level decision making. Trust them and empower them. The best thing you can do for a high-skilled person on your team is just get out of their way. Give them some autonomy and let them shine and be the best version of themselves. Now, the last group of people I want to talk about is people who are low will and low skill. My big caution on this is don't jump and try and invest too much time into them because you've probably already got too much going on with all the other people I just talked about. But you do need to take a little bit of time. Just check, indeed, if they're low will, is there a conflict you can have and just, do things improve? If they're low skill, can you do a little bit of skill training and do things improve? But if indeed they don't, then it's time to make a firing decision, right? You know that old adage, hire slow, fire fast? Well, this is definitely where it applies. And if you think about it, by letting them go, you're going to open up space for someone new to come into your organization who can actually probably do the role well. And for the person who's kind of sucky at their job, trust me, you did them a favor. Even if they don't say thank you, long term, they need to go find where they fit best. Nobody wants to suck at their job every single day. They may be sticking around because they need the paycheck, but the reality is you're making a decision for them that they probably desperately need. So these are the four quadrants of the skill will matrix. Right? If it's a skill issue, we need to take ownership and train and develop our people. If it's a will issue, we need to have critical conversations and have a real conflict to get people realigned. If somebody's high skill and high will, invest in them, provide opportunities for them, and make sure they can grow within the organization. Let go a little bit. And if it's both, try and address it quickly, but make the tough call and make sure you let those people go so you can create space for new people. See, your people are your business, and they're either going to drive your success or they're going to be holding you back. So take a hard look at your team today. Who's struggling? Where are they falling flat? Where could skill be developed? Where have some people just misaligned a little bit? And what are you going to do about it? If managing your team is a real struggle, well, guess what? You're in the same boat as the rest of us. Entrepreneurship is challenging. Leading people is one of the hardest things to do in entrepreneurship. But just know that like what you've learned today and just knowing these things won't make change. It's what you actually implement. That's where the learning starts. That's where change really happens. And that's where a business and organization properly moves forward. That's why beyond this podcast, we run something called Breakthrough Academy. It gives our members a chance to learn and develop in a classroom setting with a coach, with other members, but then actually go do the hard work and implement what we talk about. Come back, have some accountability, and make sure that what they've actually done in the field, they're learning from and developing on top of every single week. So if you want to learn more, check us out. Same link in the description. You'll have a chance to be able to check off whether or not you want to be contacted and we can start to see if we can help you out. Other than that, I hope this helped you guys today. Have fun. Think about the people that you want to go develop. Who's lacking in skill? Who's lacking in will? And go apply things accordingly.